All right, everybody. If it's Tuesday at 1, this must be Tuesday and 15. Hope everybody's doing well this afternoon. Beautiful day here in Boston. Getting ready for another snowfall tomorrow. It'll be nice. Our Patriots lost. Such a morning going on over here. But, you know, I'm reminded of a Anthony Robbins quote that says, the only meaning something has is the meaning you give. So we put that one in the rear view. Now we're moving forward to next year. And congratulations to the Eagles fans. Well played game. All right, what do we got coming up? First of all, I want to welcome the students from Sacramento and from Dallas. Welcome to the group. I also want to remind you of some events that are coming up. We have the San Diego Immersion. It's February 9th to 11th. Del Mar. Man, I miss going to San Diego. And surfing on his cribs and the parish cribs. I gotta get out there soon. We have the Sacramento Immersion coming up. That's February, did I mention that? February 9th to 11th in San Diego. Sacramento is February 16th to 18th, Puck Market. And then Dallas is coming up, another great market. Want to find out if you're from anywhere in the country and you want to find out why Dallas keeps doing well? You know, I've bought and sold properties in Dallas since the early 2000s. I'm currently owned there now. Sold off a bunch of them in 214. Bought a bunch more. That Texas market is just good. But that Dallas immersion, doesn't matter if you're from Dallas, you can always jump into another immersion if it's not your backyard. So if you're holding on to an immersion event that's inside of your portfolio of events that you got, you may consider going to Dallas February 23rd and 25th. And here's the real big bonus to this whole thing, is that you get to spend 3 days with my brother Jeff, who is a lot of fun. Everybody comes back from that event and just talking about how much fun they have with Jeff. The information's great. It really dives deep into the numbers. If you're not a numbers person and you're really concerned about it, you know, are you analyzing these deals properly, Jeff dives into those numbers. But he just has a great time doing it. So I will go out to the edge and say, you will have a good time at the immersion event. Go. All right, I want to give a high five to Lisa Schmidt, Paul Eterno, and Daniel Woodford. Purchased 104-unit property in Tyler, Texas. Woo, I know that. I know Tyler well. I used to own 2 properties there for a long time. 104. My property was 100. One of them was 100. The other one was 184. So the purchase price is $4.5 million. It was an off-market property through a broker relationship. They raised the money through other relationships that accumulated through going to the events that are a mentor. And the value plays are, they're going to replace the management company right now because it's been not that great. They're going to raise the rent because rents are below market value. And they're going to be adding a RUBS system, resident utility billing system, along with charging for covered parking. It's pretty good. That's one that people don't think about too often, is if you get a parking lot and it's only partial, has only partial covered parking, charge for the covered parking. It's all for us. Not a bad little increase in income enhancement. So we want to give those 3 people, Lisa Schmidt, Paul Eterno, and Danny Woodford, a big high five. Yeah. All right. You can press *0 if you want to call in and ask a question. Any and all questions are welcome. So press *0. As you queue up for the call for staff questions, I want to answer an email question that came over from Carlos Patterson from Brooklyn. He says, good question. You know, when I used to go out there and teach a lot during the breaks, people would come up to me all the time and say, quick question. And I used to think, oh, man, whenever they start off with a quick question, it's usually a long question. But Carlo says, what is the standard earnest money deposit for commercial real estate to put in on LOIs? Anywhere from 1% to 3% of the purchase price. The earnest is due once after the offer is accepted or when the contract is signed. Well, part of the earnest money is due Actually, the majority, in the larger deals, the majority of earnest money is due within 3 days after signing the purchase, signing the letter of intent. 3 to 5 days. And then go in and you do due diligence, and after you sign off on due diligence, there's usually another deposit required as well. So that was from Carlos. Everybody's chewing out. I'm going to take another. Another one from Brooklyn. From Betty Ann Sandberg. Betty Ann writes in, have you come out with new emerging markets list? Yes, I have. I got the last one, which only had 10 names on it. Betty, do you know why that had 10 names on it and only 10 names? Because that was my top 10.
Woo!
Catch up. That's true. That was the top 10 list. I don't know if they are off the top of my head, but I did create a new list. I actually created an updated video on that as well. Emerging markets. We're going to put that in the mentoring website. So I know Jermaine's listening. Jermaine, if you can get that from Alex, the video that I just recorded on all the markets, what's happening around the United States, put it into the mentoring website, and then the mentoring students can go up there and watch it. So there you go. Watch that video. I need more than 10 on that one. And I'll do one more from Benjamin Cohen, because there's a lot of questions that you need. Let me break the go back. Benjamin's from Kansas City, home great barbecue. If you had a suggestion regarding Fairfield on the multi-human million CDs, you mentioned Paris and Dunhill. I've also tried this source, but they're unable to generate this in the department. Please let me know. Please help me if you can, from Benjamin Cohen. Ben, you know what you have to do is go to your, just go directly to the assessor's office and ask them how much it costs to buy the list. And they'll tell you that list. You have to put your request in writing. They'll tell you the list, and it's usually a lot less than Listbroker. And a lot, and sometimes they even sell to a Listbroker, so you can find out which Listbroker they sell to. So, okay. I'm opening up the lines now. I'm ready to take all of the anti-adulation for everybody who's a Patriot hater, which I know there's a lot of them. That's okay. I guess they can. Operator, who's the first call today on the Wise Cracker Line?
Okay, our first question comes from Wesley. Wesley, please go ahead.
Thank you. Dave, I'm out here in Los Angeles, and I don't want to work that area. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I'm looking at that area, but I had somebody bring me a deal that has gotten my interest in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I didn't know anything about Louisiana. I haven't heard you ever mention it or anything, and it's such a weird state. I was wondering, first of all, what you thought about the state in that area.
Well, I like, first of all, I've been to Lafayette for the purposes of buying there, but this was many years ago when it was really emerging hard. Lafayette is it's an oil town, and most of the executives that go, work in Houston actually live in Lafayette. They can come on the weekends, they fly home. So it's a pretty wealthy community. At the time, they were putting in a new, cable system all around the city, so it was going to enhance connectability and it was going to bring in more businesses. I believe that if you go to the Lafayette, Louisiana, and Lafayette, North Carolina, both sometimes they confuse me when I read stuff. Neither one of the markets I'm interested in right now, but one of them just had a fallback, and you'll find that information on the Best Performing Cities report. So Google Best Performing City Report 2016 and look at the 25 biggest decliners. And one of those Lafayette is on that list.
Okay.
I like that city, Lafayette. They get very aggressive economic development committee to bring in new business. But I haven't really read anything about it unless that's the one that's on that list. So read that first. But I do like it. I think it's a good city, and I think they're aggressive. And I like Louisiana. I used to own a Shreveport. I tried to buy in Baton Rouge. I had a student that went there and did pretty well. So and even where do they have Mardi Gras? New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, it's getting a lot better than it was after the hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, do some diligence on Lafayette. Go to the website, the Economic Development Committee or Chamber of Commerce website. Read the recent articles that they've had and call, find out what they're doing for job growth and what jobs are coming in. That would be the next.
Okay. Do you have anybody in your sponsor list who specializes or spends a lot of time in the Louisiana area?
I didn't know off the top of my head. I don't. Jeannie Wood.
That's what I was thinking. I knew you had people in Texas and, you know, and all through the South, but I hadn't heard Louisiana mentioned.
We get people everywhere.
Just curious.
And you know what?
Okay. Well, I'll call Jeannie.
No, wait. We've got, this is what I was going to say. If you've got a good deal in a good market, we've got a sponsor.
Okay.
So are you looking to find out if somebody knows that market? Is that why you're going to ask
yes.
that question?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's the easy way to do it. And, you know, we're an education company. We want to educate you. And the only way you get educated is if you do, you know. So the thing to do is to do those steps that I told you. Call the Economic Development Committee, you know, get on their Chamber of Commerce website, read their recent press, talk to the Economic Development Committee and find it. I'll tell you what, they're very receptive for investors to call. They actually wanted to pick me up at the airport and drive me to the Economic Development Committee. I still wasn't going to have my own car, but when I did get there, they had a slideshow ready for me. They had a gift bag ready for me. They took me around the city, showed me, you know, what was happening there. They took me out for lunch. I mean, they're really receptive to investors. So go through the process of doing your due diligence, right? And then call Jeannie and say, hey, look, I got this deal in Lafayette that was sent to me. This is why I like Lafayette. Who else on your team knows Lafayette that can confirm what I found out? See? That's the way you want to do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Good luck out there.
Okay.
Okay, who's next? Who's next on this busy, busy Tuesday?
Okay, up next we have Ethan. Ethan, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
If I get broken up, let me know. I'm driving right now from Denver to Kansas City. So my question is this. We have a deal that we just had our LOI accepted, so I'm driving out to do our pre-inspection, meet with the owner and the broker. It's a tertiary market in Kansas where I've been looking for over a year now in a place called Junction City, which it's really kind of predicated, the entire economic environment there is predicated by the Fort Riley, the home of the Army's 1st Infantry. Now, the broker was very, and owners were very slow to get us the financial data. I actually had to build my own T12 based on their property management statements. So when we had first gone in, we talked to a local mortgage broker, and we had an interest rate of about 4.9. That has since jumped up, and it may be even higher based on the military occupancy at our complex. My question is this, is that I will likely have to go and renegotiate down from our purchase price. It currently meets the Holy Trinity, but in order to give our aid to our investors, I may have to renegotiate down on my purchase price from what we had agreed to because the interest rates have gone up. Is there any advice you can give me on how I approach that with the broker and the owner? We already have agreed to LOI.
You're just going to have to just come right out with it. And everybody's aware. I mean, that's one of the things that's driving the stock market down. That interest rates are going up, so you just let them know that the deal that now that the interest rates have gone, have moved, the deal doesn't work anymore. You're within your due diligence period, so, I mean, this is part of due diligence. And just say, I'd like to renegotiate it to, you know, where it's going to work.
Yeah, now I know we're going to have to train on that. We have very favorable terms wherein our EMD will never, ever go hard at any point in time. If we have to ask at the end of the financing period, then they've asked you to put up another $15,000 that will go hard. I expect that if I have to ask for a significant price reduction of several $100,000 to still meet them, that I'm going to have to give them something in return. Any thought from you on what I should, what would be palatable to me to give up to them on that trade when I ask for that price reduction?
What are you willing to give up?
Well, my thought was that we could agree to let the earnest money go hard after the physical due diligence period.
Oh. Yeah, I like that.
And prior to what's going through. And to that, so it gives them the incentive to still stay in the deal, and it shows that we're engaged as well. So that was my thought. So if you agree with that, that was kind of what my plan was to go with, and then I was going to talk to my mentor about that, Jeff Kissy, later on today and see what his thoughts were as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Oh, that's all I had. I'm driving out there, and I'm like kind of, I was a little freaked out on how I was going to go through my first deal. So, but I mean, it's 120 units, it's a 2006 build, so there's almost no deferred maintenance. Obviously, we're a little bit concerned about the market being completely centered around the military. But the financials still seem to really work, and we're a little bit below market for where everyone else is, and I've got some ideas on some enhancements, amenity enhancements, to increase value on the property as well. So
that all sounds good. Yeah, I hope it all worked out. Hey, when you talk
to Jeff,
yeah, when you tell the talk to Jeff Kissy, tell him it's been a while since you sent me a secret family recipe. Right. Tell him I'm due for a
second. I will definitely do that. I'm supposed to talk to him later on this afternoon, so I'll let him know.
Okay, good. Tell him I'll be anxiously looking at my email. Wanted to come in.
All right, excellent. Well, dude. All right, thanks, David. All right.
Thank you. All right, yeah, so Jeff Kissy, every once in a while. If you're not familiar with him, Jeff's one of our coaches. Came up through the system. Needed a kick in the butt to get himself buying properties. He went 9 months without getting a deal or doing a deal. Basically, he blames himself because he really wasn't doing much in that 9 months. Then he joined into mentorship and got a good kick in the butt and started doing deals. And now Jeff's loaded. Let me just put it that way. Jeff is loaded. And he's still out there doing deals, which is great, which is a requirement to be a coach anyway. But you know, he's just moving and shaking. Life's good for Jeff. But every once in a while, he sends me over a secret family recipe. And the last one I got was right around Thanksgiving, not last year, but the year before. And it was a secret family recipe for a pumpkin bread, which was really good, by the way. But, by the way, if you get a secret family recipe, send it over. We like to cook it. And as a matter of fact, if you'd like to bake something for me in the office, feel free to and send it over. We love eating baked goods in the office. All right, so who'll be next? Operator, who's next on the line?
Okay, next we have Dana. Dana, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Dave. I am only a week old, so my question might be very raw, but
you're
I have an appraisal. Yeah.
You're very well.
I just joined on last Sunday, so my question is that I have an appraiser that has a property in New York that fits the Holy Trinity. He is asking for a referral fee. He looks like he can feed me a lot of properties in different areas. What would you suggest a referral? I mean, how much should I pay for a referral fee? And, of course, that would be after the sale went through, but I just wanted to see what would be a good amount to do for that.
How much is he asking?
I'm sorry?
How much is he asking for a referral fee?
He hasn't asked anything yet, but he mentioned that already, so I know it's coming, so I just want to be prepared to know where, you know.
He's the broker on the deal. Is he the broker on the deal?
No, he's an appraiser.
Oh, he's an appraiser. Well, you know, if he's going to find you, I mean, I wouldn't. How big is the deal?
This particular one he sent me was for $4.7 million.
You know, I wouldn't. if you make the numbers work with a 1% referral fee, which would give him like $40,000, he would be very happy with that. And if the deal really works, you're going to make a ton, you and your investors are going to make a ton more than that. And you put it inside of your closing cost. So you make it part of the deal, so you don't come out of the pocket. It comes out of the funds for the deal at the closing. So I think you'd be happy with one.
So 1% of the purchase price?
Yeah, but I would ask him what he's thinking. You know, like I would say, you know, typically, ask him, you know, typically, what do you get for a referral fee when you're referring? And if he says like 2 or 3%, it's like, you know, pretend you just choked on something huge.
Right, exactly. Because it's a cap rate. The cap rate is like a 12.46. The DCR is a 2.25, and the cash on cash return is a 23.1.
It's pretty sweet if those numbers hold true.
Yeah, if it's true. So I requested him to give me the data and the net operating expenses and rent roll and all that good stuff.
If it feels like that, that would be nice. But here's the thing. By asking him what, you know, typically what his fee is, you're hoping that he's going to say something less than 1%. The risk that you run by saying that is he says something much higher than 1%. And then you're going to have to, like, bring them back in and say, you know, typically you thought the typical fee was 1% or less.
Right. Okay.
But yeah.
Well, good. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Good luck with that deal. I hope those numbers do hold true because that's a sweet deal.
Yeah. Hopefully it's 192 units or 198 units. So we'll see.
All right. Good luck.
All right, thank you. Uh-huh.
All right. All right, who's next?
Okay, we have no questions at the moment. I just want to remind for those who just joined us, if you would like to ask a question, to press star zero for questions, please. Thank you.
All right, star zero for questions, and I'm going to go to the list, and I'm going to answer a question by Sharon Duvall Humes. Humes or Humes? She says, I've seen some properties that I've requested, and I've requested the income of the inspection for us only, but they only come in the form of a pro forma. If that is the only numbers that they can supply, what, would it be possible to round up to allow for realistic totals? I don't understand the question. I'm trying to read some more today, so I'm going to try to read this. Bear with me for a second. And get on, press star zero, get on the line. So, it's a question about a pro forma, and it says that, you know, all the totals don't end in round numbers. Well, pro formas actually usually do, and it's the actual numbers that don't, so that's where I'm kind of confused. And she says, if this is the only number that they can supply to give me an idea, the sentence is kind of fragmented. If that is the only number that they can supply to give me an idea, would it be possible to round up to allow for realistic totals? Yeah, I'm sorry, Sharon. I just don't get this question. But I will tell you this. If they will only give you pro formas, you can only base your offer on the pro forma, and you should stick something in your offer that says, you know, your offer is based on an X cap rate, that you're buying at an A cap. Your offer is based on an A cap rate. Upon receiving the actual numbers, the seller agrees to adjust the total to an A cap rate based on actual numbers. So I'm not sure if that's what you're asking or not. But that's the typical answer to a pro forma question. Lisa Edwards writes, and if it didn't answer your question, just call into Jermaine or Jeff or Jeannie, go and have the answer for you. Lisa Edwards from Corpus Christi writes in, she says, if you raise money for a deal with an investor through a 1031, through his 1031, does that oblige us to have the entire raise with 1031 money? You know, you're going to have to check with service provider for the 1031 exchanges, exchange provider. But it is my belief that you need to have the new the property that you're buying be in the same entity that the investor who has the 1031 exchange is coming out of. So it can make things difficult, and you really need an exchange provider to navigate you through this process. But so the answer is yes and no. It all depends on the situation. But it does not, I can tell you this, it does not oblige you to have the entire range of 1031 exchange money. But I will also tell you this, that you're probably going to have to go into a TIC, or tenant in common relationship, and that is never good. The best thing to do is to have a exchange money be the only money in the deal from one person. But that seems like that's not the case here. So just be careful on this one. You're stepping on some hot coals. All right, I'm going to open up for questions. That's more of these questions that were emailed over. But let's open up for questions. See what else we got up there. Who's next?
Okay, next we have David. David, please go ahead.
Hey, David. It's David DC. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How's it going?
Pretty good. Just a couple of questions. One scenario for you, and I wanted to get your feedback. You're probably telling me I'm probably smoking something here, but I had two off-market properties, 30 units each. One property is a C-minus property in a C neighborhood. The other one is a C property in a B neighborhood. The owner wants to sell them both together. When I walked the first property, looks like it needs quite a bit of work, and it's only 60 to 70% occupied, and the building is quite old. But the second property that's in the B neighborhood is actually very well kept, and based on the way it looks, it might be a good cash flow opportunity. But it too is 30% occupied, 30% vacant left. So the number that I got from the seller is not an offer memorandum, so I don't have all that I need. He gave me a T-12 for the last year. But underneath the NOI, there's some non-up.
All right. I got a couple questions real quick. First of all, how many units are you
selling? Okay. 34 units in one, 30 units in the other.
All right. And they're both 70% occupied?
Yes.
And did they separate you said you got the numbers, but did they separate them for a building, or did they just give you one set of numbers for both?
No, they did separate them for a building.
Okay. All right, good. I got one on you. Keep going.
The problem is when you look at the NOI, they for both buildings, they're showing 50% of the gross revenue is the expense. But then you look below that, there's this thing called non-operating expense, which is much higher, which I think is going to screw up the NOI. And he's done that on both buildings. And this is a seller, so this is not there's no broker involved.
What is that considered?
So
the non-operating expense.
Go ahead. Huh?
What is the non-operating expense? What's in there?
It just says non-operating expense. It doesn't tell me exactly what that means, but I think it's got something to do with him fixing areas of the property that need to be fixed. He's also doing some rehab in some of the units.
Oh, he may be, that could be, what do you got, the below-the-line expenses, not the depreciator. I can't think of the term right now, darn a blank. But it's the expenses you get the reserves for, capital expenses.
Okay.
So I was drawing a blank that, at the very beginning of this, that I thought he'd probably be smoking something. My mind immediately went to, I wonder if he's smoking Maui Waui weed, if he's smoking or Panama Red. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
Is none of the above?
None of the above, yeah.
All right.
But I just wondered if it's even worth me looking into, really.
So, I'm sorry, what was the question?
I'm just wondering if this is something I, you know, if this is an off-market deal, you know, dealing directly with the seller. I know it needs some rehab work, but it's worth me pursuing.
Yeah, I think so. But you said that the below-the-line expenses would throw it out of whack. And you're going to have to deal
with
that. You need to have those below-line expenses itemized so you know what he's actually buying. And then you're going to need to go to the property, and you're going to have to, do a takeoff on what you're going to need to do, you know, to each of them, each of the buildings, to get them up to the point where everything's rent ready, in the condition that you want them to be in. And then when you do that analysis, you know, take a look at the numbers in the deal moving forward. I mean, if it needs a lot of expenses and you're bringing in investors in the deal, and the numbers cash flow with the additional money that you need to raise for the expenses and not have to go to a bank, that's certainly the best way to do that particular scenario. I think there's two or three different ways you can look at this deal. I would go through each one of those different ways and see which one may work. If none of them work, then none of them work. But, you know, one of them may. And those three ways are, number one, you look at what the expenses are. You see the cash flows with the investors bringing in the money, because that will affect your cash and cash return, because that's part of that equation. The second one is you get the financing that has the money in it, you know, and that would be a mezzanine financing or a bridge loan that would take you into a long-term senior debt loan. You probably want to go, I don't know if this is Fannie Mae, if Fannie Mae has a great program for that. I'm not sure if the project's big enough or not to be able to get into that program. But then the third way is to go to the seller for a repair allowance for all the repairs that need to be made. You know, and therefore, so doesn't affect any of your numbers. You get a repair allowance, you get the thing done, you get the money at the closing, and it's easier to make your numbers work.
All right. Well, that's a good point. So my leading question then, or my follow-up question would be, how much should I share with the seller regarding my impression of the property? But what you're saying is I need to list out all the things I didn't need to be repaired and look for a repair allowance from here.
That would be the easiest way to get it done and make it easier for your numbers to pencil out. Yes.
Okay. All right,
very good.
Thanks, sir.
Yep, you're welcome. All right. So before I take the next question, I just wanna go back in time to my misguided youth, because I do remember what he did say. You know, I thought he'd be smoking something. It did all of a sudden bring me right back there to where, I don't know if you saw the movie Up in Smoke with Cheech and Chong. Well, if you bought that album, because there was an album associated with that, the inside of that album was a Cheech and Chong rolling paper. And if you remember the size of the joints that they were smoking in Cheech and Chong, so they used to have rolling papers inside the albums. And all my friends bought an album, and all my friends had little rolling papers that came with those albums. And we all had a contest to see who could roll the biggest joint and have it not break. And, of course, we smoked them all. It took a long time and a lot of bag of Doritos. But we got it done. All right, who's next on the Wisecracker line? And then we watch Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is getting a lot better. All right, who's next?
Okay, up next we have Lisa. Lisa, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. This is Lisa. I'm Lisa Schmidt and Polly Turner and Dan Woodford. Thanks for the shout-out. I really appreciate that.
Hey, my pleasure.
It's going great. We're just a couple, not even 2 weeks into it, and we'll be out at the property next week doing an all-hands planning meeting to lay out the implementation of the CapEx budget that we have in our budget. And so far, it's going good. We wrote the offer. When we wrote the LOI, the property was at 83% occupancy, and we can't take all credit for it and probably can't take any credit for it, but before we closed, we were at a week after close, we were at 97% occupancy. So that was kind of sweet little bonus there that happened just by the old property management knowing that it was going to be for sale and the seller getting on them to get their occupancy up. So Yeah, so it's going good so far. We're very excited
to
see.
What's the name of that property?
It's Town Oaks East.
Okay. Now, I owned one that I can't remember the name.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. Now, we like Tyler.
So
like
you said that deal from a broker relationship?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
How long were you courting the broker before the broker gave you the deal?
About a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, about a year.
It does, huh?
It does. It does. You guys taught us that. So I have a question for you.
Yes?
So we have been handed a total of 4. Can you hear me okay? I've got some more static. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear the static too, but you're coming. You come across good enough.
Okay. Okay, good. We've been handed some more properties. 3 are a portfolio, one's not. One's outside the portfolio. They're all townhomes and duplexes. And the problem or the question that I have for you is the only comparables in that area that are townhomes and duplexes are the ones that we are being offered to buy. And they're off market. And so I would love from you any suggestions that it appears from first glance and first dive into the financials that one of the things that is going to need to happen, and we're being told that they are definitely under market rent, and we would think that they are because they're sitting all at 98 to 100% occupancy. Actually, all of them but one is at 100% and have been. One's at 98%. So, you know, that would tend to make us believe that they are indeed under market rents. However, we're having a little bit of a challenge determining what we're going to be able to bump those rents to based on the fact that the only comps so far appear to be the properties that were being offered. So any suggestions on how we could go about determining what we really could bump the rents to, given that we can't find any townhome duplex comps that are really comparable to those in the market?
What's the next comparable rent? That's the thing you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to add some. You're going to have to find out what's closest, and even though it's not a true comp, there's nothing else you can do. There's nothing else like it on the market. What about, what I would do? I would call the manager and just ask them, because all managers do rent comps every month or every quarter. All the good management companies do anyways. So I would ask them, who do you consider your competition? Who do you think your competition is?
We did ask the seller, and the seller said there really aren't any except for the other properties that were being offered. So it's two owners.
I wouldn't ask
one. Yeah.
So I'd ask the broker. Oh, but you said it was an off-market deal? Or is it a broker?
We're working through the broker, but I mean, it's the broker. The broker has the
broker.
Is working.
Oh, yeah, the broker, who the competition is.
It's what it said.
Hold on. You said this is off-market deal?
Correct.
All right. Well, the broker, if it was on the market deal, they would have created an offering memorandum, and they would have had rent comparables in there. So I would just go back to the broker and say, hey, if you're going to do an offering memorandum on this property, what are the rent comparables? And make sure that they're within the same time frame. And then similar square footage, I would think, would be the best.
Similar square footage. That's what we were thinking. Try to find some apartments that were similar, very similar, and then similar square footage, so that there wasn't an extrapolation on the square foot size. Okay. One thing we were looking at is that possibly of the different units, they're in the rents are just all erratic. So there's no consistency on what they're renting the different size units for. So we were thinking that one way to do it would be take the highest rent that they're getting for a particular unit model and size and say, okay, well, we know at least we could bump them to that. However, it would still appear that we could bump them higher.
You know what?
No?
I think a better thing to do would be to call the managers of these properties and just say,
they're mom and pops.
You could say you should say you're an appraiser from some appraiser company, right? And just say, information about your property, for your property. I'm doing, do something appraisal, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But just say, who do you consider your competition? If people weren't going to rent from you, where would they go? Who do you compete against?
Okay.
Get those and find out what they're getting.
Okay,
that would be the best.
Good idea.
I would also talk to the broker, too, and ask him, the more information you get, the better. And,
the
same information, that's usually at least a good comp.
Yeah, he's basically directed us to the other properties. He's saying that there aren't any other comps really in the area for these, other than the ones that,
I would call them. I wouldn't even deal with any, I would call the company. Make up the
But he's given us some beautiful properties. He's given us some good ones. He's given us some good properties, though, Dave. I don't want to discount him.
Well, I'm just saying, in this particular question, he's not giving you a good answer. So
right.
You don't have to discount for everything else in his life, but for this particular question, he's not giving you a good answer. So, to get the good answer is to call the management staff itself.
Okay. That's a great idea. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, take care.
All right, good luck.
Bye-bye. Thanks, bye.
All right, so, bye-bye. All right, so I want to digress just a little bit more. So if you remember that movie Cheech and Chong, right, and you remember that van that was moving so wildly, right, do you remember when I think it was Chong was on the outside knocking on the door of that van where he was staying? He was knock, 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 and then he would say, "Hey, man, it's Dave. It's Dave, man. Let me in. Hey, it's Dave. Let me in, man. It's Dave." I've carried that through my entire life. I got a trivia question for everybody, too. When those Cheech and Chong papers, and you rolled up that big, huge joint, does anybody from your misguided youth remember what they were called? Let's find out who knows that answer to that trivia question. All right. Who is our next caller?
Okay. Up next, we have Reggie. Reggie, please go ahead.
Reggie, do you know the answer to the trivia?
I remember Cheech and Chong. I can't remember the joint, what it called. I remember the show.
Okay.
I remember they were pretty big.
Somebody knows the answer to this. So, all right. What's your question?
Oh, my question is, back at UPN last year, you said that you was going to give us some courses, certificates for training, and I was wondering what the status of that.
Well, as a matter of fact, in today's meeting, Chris in our office gave everybody a high five because they're completed, and they're about to send out an email to Mastery Diamond students that they're done,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be sent out. You're going to get access. So they're done.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yep.
By the way, how do you like Super Bowl, by the way?
Well, I like it to the end. Gronk didn't drop that pass, but at least it would have been nice if it was deflected into somebody in another Patriots' arms and we won. But, I'll be asked here in New England is a blowout. Every single Super Bowl has gone down to the wire. I mean, you got to admit, when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, it's usually a really good game. I mean, just look at the comeback last year. So all we wanted was, one big blowout where we can enjoy all the food we made for the Super Bowl, watch it in peace, and just be happy. But it always comes down to the wire. We won most of them, but, we're 5-3 in the Brady era. We won 5, we lost 3. So it was a good game. Eagles did well.
Yes, they did. It was, but we get tired of seeing the Patriots come every year, though. Come on, John.
Yeah, I know. I hear that. But you know what? When Brady's gone, I don't know what's going to happen, We got to enjoy this while we can.
Yeah.
So we're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I understand, Patriots. You would, we hate the Yankees here. We just absolutely hate them. And, they win and win and win. And I respect them for that, but I also hate them for it.
I'm a Yankees fan, so okay.
You are? Well, I'm sorry.
Yes. That's okay. We can't be perfect, can we?
you know, I was so distraught one time before the Red Sox had actually won the World Series. I'm a big sports fan. And I just kept tired of the Red Sox losing season after season after season. So I was in New York City, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to switch over. I'm going to become a Yankees fan. And I bought a New York Yankees hat, and I walked outside of that store, and I put it on my head, and it was burning right into my skull. It was like my head was on fire. I had to take that hat off and throw it right in the trash.
I guess it just wasn't meant to be, Dave.
It wasn't.
but thanks. Nice talking to you. That's all the question I have.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay. You too. Take care.
Yep. All right. Who's next?
Okay. We have no further questions at the moment, Dave.
All right. I got some more questions here. Press star 0 to get your question in. And let's see. This one is from Justin Peters from Port St. Lucie. And it says, does the bank ever make an exception to having a sponsor for the deal? How do you recommend someone with no large apartment experience to qualify for a mortgage for a 100-plus unit property? No, if you don't have any experience, you don't meet the qualifications, the financial qualifications, you're going to need to get a sponsor. If the deal's a good deal and it's 100 units plus, I mean, I would love to do the deal. This office would like to do the deal. 150 units is better. If you're part of a mentorship, we get a sponsor as a bonus, then you can get a sponsor for any deal that you got coming in, pretty much. They do like bigger ones, though, the sponsors. We get the sponsorship event, where we'll have sponsors there at the event. The next one's not until November, but if you decide to you want to go to that event, we will guarantee you a sponsor anytime between now and that event if you find a deal. So, and then you can go out and find a sponsor on your own. And that is, you know, you're networking for people that go onto your list as potential investors, and then you're going to have good rapport with one of them, and you're going to realize that they're wealthy, and then you're going to ask them, you know, would you be interested in sponsoring my deal? So there's a number of different ways where you can get sponsors, but you are going to need one if you don't meet the financial qualifications and you don't have experience. All right, so the next one is from Don Chang from Corona Del Mar. And Don writes in, my biggest fear is raising money. At the multifamily boot camp, one of the coaches mentioned something about private placement memorandum, PPM. I was embarrassed to ask, but, oh, what is a private placement memorandum, or PPP? He puts down PPM, or PPM here. And why would I need it to raise money? So the PPM is a private, it's a short acronym for private placement memorandum, and it consists of three items. It's the operating agreement, it's a subscription agreement, and it's a property package. And you need these, your investors need to sign off on these agreements prior to you raising any money. So when you get a deal and you're going to raise private money, you go to your securities attorney and you let them know about the deal, you give them the parameters of the deal. They create the PPM, the private placement memorandum. Then when you get the investors that are interested in your deal, you send them the document, it's usually about 28 to 40 pages long, and you send them the document, they read it on every page. Don't be alarmed when this happens, because I certainly was the first time I got one. Every page it says that you understand that real estate is risky, and you could lose some or all of your money. And the first time I got one of those, I gave it back to the attorney, and I said, you got to take that off, because nobody's going to give me money when I tell them they could lose all their money. He said, no, we got to keep that on, because if you don't tell them and they do lose their money, you're going to be screwed. I was like, oh, okay. But that's, and anybody that is an investor that has invested in these deals before realizes that, you know, that's just the language that has to be in there. It's the risk language. So that's what a private placement memorandum is. All right, let's open up for questions. I got a long one here if we have another break. Who's next? Who knows the answer to that question? But Chris McKenna, you know the answer to this question. Go ahead, operator.
We actually have somebody who has the answer. So Lisa, please go ahead.
So, Dave, this is Lisa again. I couldn't resist. Now, I wouldn't have known this myself because I was a good Catholic girl growing up and with 12 years of Catholic schooling, so I wouldn't know this, but I happen to just have found out, and I think your answer is Big Bamboo, right?
Well, that is one acronym for it. Well, not acronym, but that was one nickname. But that's not what most regularly that everybody was looking to create when they were rolling a big joint.
I don't know.
Do they have a name?
Oh yeah, the nuns had me. I don't know. I don't know. I thought I was going to win the big prize, the door prize.
Where did you get Big Bamboo?
I Googled it.
Oh, that's why. You went online. Yeah, no, that's not it. That's not it. Yeah, you obviously didn't
know
when you were younger.
Yeah, they did. Okay, well, somebody else gets to win the big door prize then.
All right. Good try, though.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, who's next? Who's got a question? Who's got the answer to that question?
Okay, up next we have Rachel. Rachel, please go ahead.
Rachel,
hi, Dave. What's that?
What's the answer to the trivia question?
I don't know. I wasn't born here, so I don't know even what you're talking about.
Okay. Where were you born?
I was born in China.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
But I heard this.
You know, in China, they don't smoke marijuana. They smoke opium, right? Spoke to a visitor? Operator?
No, yeah. Actually, her line's still there. Rachel?
Rachel, yeah. Did you meet yourself out by accident? The opium's kicking in, that's all. Delayed reaction from when she moved over.
Oh, shoot. Hello?
Yeah? Hi, we hear you now.
Okay. Oh, God, I think something's wrong with my phone. But anyway, okay, so my question is, I'm from California. I'm looking at Cincinnati area. That's on your emerging market list.
Yeah.
What do you think of that market? And also, you know, I look at history, they are pretty flat and stable. So if we're looking at appreciation, do you think I should not count on it?
That market does appreciate in times like this, when we're near the end of the bull, quote-unquote bull run.
Uh-huh.
One of the last ones to come up, and it usually, I've just had students that go there and make a lot of money in Cincinnati. So you get a good deal with a good value add, you should do well.
So it's a great market right now to invest, right?
Hold on a second. Jeff just walked in the door. Do email answers count?
Yeah.
Who emailed?
Jolinda Holmes.
Oh. All right. So Jolinda Holmes emailed in what she thought was the answer to the question, which was doobies. But a doob or doobie was a regular size marijuana. Do you know the answer? Okay, Jeff doesn't even know the answer. Jeff used to smoke a lot of these back in the time. He must have burnt out his brain cells. So doobie is not the right answer. And to answer your question, yes, Cincinnati is a good market. Get value out. You'll have difficulty with management companies there because there's not a lot of good ones.
Oh, really? Okay. all right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys that are on the line that are thinking what could be the answer to this, the guys and gals that did smoke back then, you know it exactly when I say it. All right, so we got time for one or two more.
Okay, up next we have Trinita. Trinita, please go ahead.
Hey, Dave, this is Trinita. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. I think your answer is a blunt.
No, that is not.
That is not the answer?
No, blunts did not come into fashion until a few years ago because I caught one of my nephews smoking one, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and I was really concerned, especially with the opioid epidemic that's going on now. And come to find out that it's just a hollowed-out cigar, a blunt, and they put marijuana in there.
Okay.
That's a small smoky stick. No, this is a good one. This one is named after a flying device. And that's all. Now, I have to tell you the second hint, too. A flying device and part of a famous rock and roll band's name. All right. What's your question?
Okay. Thank you.
That's it? Oh, is that the, oh, you just calling in for the answer? Okay. Who's next? We got time for one more call.
Okay, next we have Rick. Rick, please go ahead.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. You know the answer to the question?
Dave, we used to have memorized that whole movie, and for some reason, I think it was something like a Zeppelin or something like that.
That's it.
Zeppelin.
Is that
it?
Yeah, that's it.
So I smoked the Mitch McConnell and Acapulco Gold, and I even smoked the Tide Stick, stuff that Tide Stick.
You had to say that whole movie memorized
back in the 60s.
Do you remember Paraguay, the Paraguay scare? It wasn't even a scare, it was true. The Mexicans?
No, I don't remember that. I just remember Chiefs going, they were going down the road.
Yeah. Zeppelin.
Do you remember the time that Dave's dog ate his stash? And had to call him around.
He got smoking the poop.
Yeah, and then Chiefs goes, you mean we're smoking dog, blank.
Yeah,
I think it tastes pretty good.
That was a great movie. Anybody that hasn't seen that movie, Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke, should get it. It's probably on Amazon. You can rent it. Yeah, it's fun.
But the humor comes really slow by today's standards.
Yeah, it does.
Back then, it does. That was all it was. Anyway, all right, Dave. Have a great day.
Oh, so you just answered the question. Excellent. Good for you. You got it. Yeah, you have a good day out there, too. Congratulations.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I'll send you if you call, email over to Jeff and Jermaine, I'll send you a signed copy of one of the books. Choose which one you want. Forget that right. Hope you heard me. Alright, so, the end of the call today. Your homework is to go out there and get yourself into two offers. Put in two offers. Get yourself into two networking situations. Because if you simply do two and two, you cannot help but be successful, but you gotta do it on a consistent basis. Next week we'll have a Let's Grill Genie call, and we have those three events coming up. San Diego Immersion, February 9th to the 11th. Sacramento Immersion, February 16th to 18th. And Dallas Immersion. February 23rd to 25th. Both markets, Sacramento and especially Dallas. Good to see what the good city does to maintain its ability to continue to grow, and that would be Dallas. So if you want to go to any one of those and you're not signed up, call the office. A lot of you, it's part of your package. So call up and get signed up and go. And that's it. Everybody have a great day. Bye-bye.